Good morning. Today is Friday, May the 20th. Has absolutely nothing to do with April the 20th. May the 20th, 143rd day of the new year. Joining us this morning from the city of Arcata, the cat's away, so to speak, ladies. Isn't Karen back doing the exercise with all of the swells from the county this week?
I'm not sure exactly of Karen's location right now at this moment.
I think I gave it away. In her stead. Boy, recreation. This is going to be quite interesting. Heather Stevens from the city of Arcata, and you are in charge of recreation? In charge of parks and recreation?
I manage some of the recreation programs.
The fun times.
Yes.
In Arcata. All right. And Julie Neander, and I guess you kind of oversee her so that the play doesn't get too carried away and the fields don't get too torn up?
You could say that I oversee Heather as well as a number of other excellent staff we have working in the city of Arcata that do a very good job taking care of our rec programs and our fields and facilities.
Oh, so you did get your lines, though, before she left.
Those are my lines.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see if we find something about fun in the quote book here. Okay. Well, Frenchmen aren't necessarily fun, so we'll just slide right past them. Our quote this morning comes from, Samuel Johnson, 1781, quote, "One friend must in time lose another." That's interesting. I'm not sure if I believe it, but that's interesting. Heather, what's the biggest thing that folks don't know about the Recreation Department in Arcata?
I think the biggest thing that folks might not know is how many programs we actually offer for a very small division. We have programs that span the lifetime. In the summer, which is what we're looking towards now, we'll be offering 11 different camps with all sorts of different themes all throughout the city. We offer a play center program for children and their caregivers, birth to 5 years. We'll be having plays in the park again this summer.
Which ones?
We'll be having The Roaring Girl in August, and then we offer a free family matinee on Sundays, and it's going to be A Year with Frog and Toad. And in July, we will have some opera in the park, and I will not even attempt to say the name because I will destroy it.
No, I'm thinking A Year with Frog and Toad, sponsored by Caltrans. Smoosh. You probably don't want me to get too close to any of the programs. Things could warp out of control. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Julie Neander and Heather Stearns from the city of Arcata. Hey, how's the trail? The trail that started last year that was supposed to tie together the north part of town down all the way through?
That trail is fabulous. So it starts up by our skate park, and it comes through town now and ends just kind of north of Samoa Boulevard, and we get a lot of use on it, both people biking, walking, just, enjoying it very much. So, and we're looking forward to being able to complete all kind of the permitting and environmental review that's required and actually be able to start building the next section, which would run through the marsh and then along the bay through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service area and stop just a little bit north of Breakout. That will be the section that the City of Arcata will be building, we hope, in 2017, 2018.
So that's along the railroad tracks?
It will be adjacent to the railroad tracks, yes.
I mean, at least for a visual for most of us?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's got to be a ton of environmental reports. Just Coastal, Caltrans, all the county folks and everybody. What about in doing something like that? I've always been really curious how the folks that tend to be anti-development, the anti-everything crowd, when it comes to something like this that has limited environmental impact and that tends to be something that their peers see as positive, does their tune change, or are they consistent in the don't do anything, let it all stay natural all the time perspective?
I'm not sure who you're really asking me about. I could say that in terms of working with the permitting agencies, we have to meet the same standards.
No, the community members, sorry.
Well, in Arcata, the community members are incredibly supportive of this project. I haven't heard anybody really
so
say
the folks
don't
from
want the trail.
From away from the bay aren't coming in and making comment then?
No, I think people are just so excited and can't wait for it to happen.
Cool. That's always fun. The different programs that you guys offer during the summer and during the fall, is any of that part of the, can you use it kind of as a dual purpose? Have some of the kids do some of these programs where they go out and chase butterflies or check out the grasses or, I know obviously I'm simplifying just a bit. Can you use some of their experiences to help be an argument for some of the various development programs? You need a new park, you want to expand a trail, you want to expand hours, those types of things. Can they work in concert together to make things happen a little bit easier, a little bit quicker, a little bit nicer?
Well, I think one reason why we have the support we do in our community is people recognize the benefit of the different programs we have and getting kids out to be able to learn, about the marsh, the environment of the marsh, maybe something up in the woods is one aspect of that. So we have marsh camps, we have nature camp, we have adventure camp, but we also have a lot of arts camps as well. And I think that there's really an opportunity, and we try to offer this ability to really choose what you find most enjoyable for you or for your child.
Heather, the skateboard park was referenced earlier. I know it was a big ripping deal when it came in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, and there were lines all over the place. And is it still being used to the same extent?
Yes, and actually just this last year we won the North Coast Journal Award for the best place to skateboard, and that was a write-in from our community.
I didn't know an award like that existed.
It was a write-in, and enough people wrote it in and were excited about the skate park that it was recognized.
Is there, if there's ongoing use and interest in, are you able to augment something like that and build additional trails or humps or bumps or concession stands or whatever would help to keep it in use to the same extent?
Yeah, there definitely is a phase two plan. It's all about funding, and I think Julie can speak more to that. But during the summer, we have skate camp there. So we actually have kids out there skating all summer long.
Does anybody use skates anymore?
Like roller skates?
Of
course.
Okay, so in the skate park, even though it's humpy and bumpy and rolly.
You can't use skates in the skate park.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So don't try.
No, right, me. When I had a skateboard, I sat on it.
You can rollerblade on the trail. The new trail that we have, people could be rollerblading on that for sure, or roller skating.
Okay. So it's just because of safety?
Correct.
Because of the bumpies?
Correct. And the mixed use makes it less safe. If you're on a skateboard and skates and scooters, things like that, it makes it more
motorized,
unsafe.
Yes. Now we're talking. What about those super long skateboards? Do the skate parks, are they designed for those, or is that a different kind of a different critter?
Longboards.
I think is that what they're called?
Yeah, I think it is a different. I am certainly not. I would refer to my skate staff for those type of questions, but I don't think the longboards are the best use at the skate park.
Okay, yeah, I see them go down Booner Hill.
Yeah.
That's kind of the neighborhood where we live, and it's like, you crazy. Zipping down, and it, you know, it's always the ones that have may have the knee pads, maybe a helmet, that are going 50 miles an hour. I'd hate to, it's interesting, the training process, the skill set development has got to be a little rough on some of those situations. You're ready for me, huh, Damien? Okay, fine. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Heather Stevens and Julie Neander from the City of Arcata. Talk shop presented by Redick and by CDH Painting. We were talking a little bit before the break, Heather, about the skate park. Now, the tennis courts are next to it.
Yes.
There's been an attempt to, I guess, develop recreational activities, infrastructure, I guess, for lack of a better term, over the years. You've got the community center now, health sport, the softball fields. There's a lot more opportunities in Arcata than what there were 25, 30 years ago. What's the next 25 or 30 years going to look like?
Oh, can I jump in on this one?
You know, I didn't see that S tattooed. But
well, we have some really exciting things going on. We're working right now with a neighborhood, the Greenview neighborhood, and we're doing fundraising to install the first 100% fully accessible playground in the entire county.
Okay, let's define whatever that means.
That means that all children, regardless of their ability, can come and use that playground and enjoy it.
You know, like slides and swings and like the old days that are real basic stuff?
Well,
instead of too complicated?
What if you're a child that has to be in a wheelchair all the time?
Tough to do a slide.
Could be hard.
Yeah.
So could be hard to do a swing set too, unless there's a swing set that really makes it okay for you to be able to use it.
So like the platform kinds of things that have lock-ins?
There's a lot of different things we're looking at. So there is that. There's some kind of fun, kind of rocking, similar maybe to a teeter-totter, but something where you could wheel a wheelchair onto it and other kids can be playing with you at the same time.
Not like those stupid little horses on a spring that would always bounce around. And well, I hated those things growing up. God.
That's why it's so great that playgrounds have a lot of different
elements. Yeah, always ended up
so
on the, in the
hopefully
dirt.
Something for everybody.
Yeah.
So we're looking at that. We're looking at some of that equipment that really allows different kids with different abilities to come and play at the same place all together. So that's one of the things we're looking at.
How much does something like that cost? Because I would think this is a lot of it is pretty specialized gear.
It will cost a lot, partly because we have to put a special surfacing in so that you can roll a wheelchair on it. And at the same time, if a child falls off the equipment, it still, you know, cushions their fall.
Like the rubber mats they have in restaurants, that kind of stuff?
It's like a poured rubber surfacing, yes. So that's a good idea.
Okay.
And the playground, probably the cost is going to be, roughly $350,000.
As contrasted to a normal for the same size and configuration?
Yeah, maybe a little over $100,000
Okay, so there's a premium associated with
it. There is, and I think the surfacing alone is over $100,000 for installation.
Whoa.
Where we're able to use wood chips, which actually meets all those in our other playgrounds. We can use
really?
That, and that meets all the fall protection guidelines. Yeah, you have to have a certain depth of that.
Okay, stupid question. Different types of wood rate differently as the chip?
I couldn't really answer that question.
That's too. That's okay. Oh, it was when I was back in Arkansas. They had it was chips, but it was like almost a candy apple color. They had been colored for some purpose, and I was thinking, okay, versus the redwood that we have, or the bark that we have. Geez, different woods probably have to be treated differently. And this was being used in landscaping around the old courthouse, so it was. It just kind of triggered me. Some of the things we see as normal aren't necessarily consistently normal across. So I just didn't know if it was redwood chips or some of the other. Okay, next.
So another project that we're looking at is our Redwood Park area. That playground there is quite old, but we're really looking at a master plan for Redwood Park and how we can really, going into the future, what do we want to have there? So different things we've talked about is maybe a pump track, looking at improving the playground, a pump track. So it's where people can ride bikes, but you're kind of not pedaling. And so for
those goofy bikes you stand on, and it's like a railroad.
No, not that either. But it kind of has a lot of dips and.
Well, you know what they are. You're Damien's over here laughing and giggling at either my ignorance or he knows the answers to these things.
I'm just getting you.
Oh, okay. He's visualizing me. Never mind.
It's kind of like a skate park for bikes.
There you go. That's a really great
analogy. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the liability is okay on that kind of stuff? Or that's just part of...
A lot of communities have them. So that certainly we make sure that our insurance is covered and that we build it correctly. We build it to standard.
What about the trails in the park? I know you guys have got some issues with the squatters. I mean, and did back into the 70s, so it's nothing that's new. Are the trails as accessible as what you would like through different areas of the forest, or at least in the general area of where most folks would be? Would you like those trails to either be bumped up with some of the rubberized stuff you were talking about with the playgrounds, or asphalted, or for?
Well, part of the master plan really looks at how we can kind of invite people. Maybe some people come to the park and never even think about going on the trail. So we're looking at how can we change those trail access points from the park and make them more inviting. And we're actually looking at, is there a way to have a little, almost a play area right between the park and as you're going up the trail, so it's a little bit more opened up. Maybe some natural play area where, you know, younger children and their families feel like, oh, this is fun, let's go explore this. And then they see, oh, there's a trail, and maybe they'll decide they want to go.
Kind of like the Hammond Park concept, or Hammond Trail, I guess, where it's easier and it's more open and you're a little safe.
Yeah, it could be that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you get too many distance bikers riding it on it, though. like the Hammond Trail, those guys are crazy.
We do have people that ride their mountain bikes in the trails in the woods.
That's really a whole different use pattern.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yeah, well, our trails are really multiple use trails, so people go hiking on them, there's people that are jogging, people that are mountain biking, horseback riding, people pushing strollers. It really depends, and we like to try to do what we can to make them multi-use so that we can kind of service the most people in the community as possible.
Parking?
Well, parking is a challenge up there, isn't it? So that's another thing in the master plan is, okay, is there a way to provide a little bit more parking? So.
Yeah, save the tough one for last. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to talk show. I guess we got to talk a little bit about the recreation programs, huh?
Absolutely.
All right. So, Heather, you got 3 minutes. What's on the table this summer in Arcata for the little guys?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have 11 camps throughout the city. We have anything from adventure camp, art camp, dance camp, camps at the marsh, skate camp, as I mentioned earlier.
No, that's pain camp.
We have a theater camp. So we have all sorts of different camps.
So camp isn't necessarily going out and having mosquitoes take a sampling of your blood.
Not
you can. There's some indoor stuff and some things if you're not physically inclined or your kids aren't.
And you can mix and match. That's the fun thing about our camps too. You can try different things, and I think that's really fun because kids might try something that they never would have tried before and find out that it's something they really enjoy.
Weekly modules?
Yes, we do it weekly. 10 weeks all summer long.
What would you like to offer that you can't? Now that apparently the boss is listening. Is there a themed camp that you would really, it would really be cool to do? Money isn't an issue. Physical locations isn't an issue. Just something.
I think a fun camp to add, if we had the funding and staff availability, would be a camp at our farm, at our CSA farm out on Bayside Park. I think it would be a nice addition.
Learn how to grow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Learn about the soil, learn about the environment, learn about...
Worms are more than things that go on fishing poles.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Where our food comes from.
That'd be kind of... I can see how that would be something that would fit in, because I know the schools do a fair amount of that stuff, but to be able to have a more intensive during the summertime when actually, in theory, there's sunshine and things can grow.
Things are growing. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's really fun when kids can go out and pick the food and eat it right then and there, you know.
Oh, the green bean experiment.
Strawberries.
And we have goats at the farm.
You don't want to pick a goat and eat it, do you?
No, you don't. But you probably want to play with it.
Yeah, until the horns get a little too big. Julie, what are you looking for? What would you like to see?
Well, I'm really looking forward to implementing our Redwood Park Master Plan, and we also are looking at developing a new park in Shea Park. We have a number of playgrounds that we'd love to upgrade because they are really old, and the first one will be Greenview, which I'm very excited about.
Is that going to be the template for the future, or is that a unique one and there'll be other unique ones?
I think that we are going to make every effort to make sure every playground we put in from here on out is accessible.
Well, you guys are now accessible to the parking lot because we're done. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
See y'all Monday.